not a great idea. Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, we would like to know your great ideas. We are looking for your great ideas during our May open line this hour. Your ideas for talk shows, the issues you want to discuss on this show, weekday mornings from 6 until 9. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May 15th. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Here is your opportunity to influence what you hear and what you discuss on the Joy Cardine Show. Is there a particular guest or topic that you would like on this show? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And given that this is a big election year in Wisconsin, how would you like us to approach our politically focused shows? We are considering devoting an hour, at least an hour, but having it as a special segment each week at the same time, maybe this hour, as a place where you can go to find out some of the very latest happenings on the campaign trail in the race for governor, attorney general, state legislature, talk about the different issues that are making news on the campaign trail, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the country. What do you think of that idea? Let us know, and let us know what other issues and topics and guests that you would like to hear on this program. We open the lines once a month to find out what's on your mind. Maybe what's on your mind right now today? What is it that you're talking about or that you want to know more about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We do keep track of your ideas. We do discuss your ideas. Sometimes we are able to produce shows based on your ideas. Sometimes we pass them along to other shows. We may not be able to get to every single suggestion, but we do enjoy hearing from you and do follow through on as many as we can. By the way, tomorrow at this time, during our 7 o'clock hour, with college commencement just around the corner this weekend at UW-Madison, in fact, we will be talking with a guest who has some advice for the graduating class of 2014, and we will also be asking for your advice. What would you, what do you wish you knew then that you now know, and what kind of advice would you give the college graduates who are going to be entering the real world in just a few days? That's tomorrow at this time, advice for college graduates. Every Friday we have the Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different perspectives talking about the top state and national political news stories of the week. That's our Week in Review every Friday between 8 and 9. We're going to have a little bit of fun in our Wisconsin Life segment. Every Friday between 6 and 7, we do a story that celebrates life in Wisconsin, talks about special Wisconsin experiences, recreation, culture, that sort of thing. And something a little bit different. Tomorrow we're going to talk about flying and making kites. That's right, kites. The State Historical Society's historic sites and museums around the state all this month have been having special kite making or kite flying events going on. And there will be a kite making event, I believe it's this weekend, at the State Historical Society Museum in Madison. And we just thought it would be fun to talk about flying kites and making kites and our memories of the same. And having fun. So that's our Wisconsin Life show, our Tell Joy Where to Go Fly a Kite Hour, tomorrow between 6 and 7. All right, time for your ideas, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Spencer in Waukesha is with us first. Hi, Spencer.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What is your idea? What would you like to talk about?
I'm just wondering if anybody has really bothered to look into the allegations on the internet that the flight that disappeared in the Pacific, that MH370, if it disappeared because there were certain people on board that certain other individuals wanted to disappear.
All right. Now, I'm not sure if there has been any investigation
into
that.
All over the internet from like three different groups that four high-level people from a semiconductor company were on that plane, that they owned a multi-billion-dollar patent that they shared with their company.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of speculation, Spencer, though. I mean, so we don't really want to necessarily fuel, rumors or speculation if the authorities are saying they're investigating that particular link, that would be one thing. But we haven't really done much on that missing airplane, at least not on this talk show, because there hasn't been anything really concrete to talk about. And we think that you're probably getting a lot on CNN and some other, at least you were. It's kind of, it's dropped off a little bit, but we haven't done a whole lot of issue discussion on that. But we'll look into it, whether there's anything to do on that particular airplane disappearance. Thanks very much for the suggestion. Donna in Mount Horeb is with us. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Yes, what is your idea?
My idea is just to have a show on earthworms. I used to always think that if they got out of the ground, they couldn't get back in the dirt. I don't even really know if that's the truth or not. And on how they help the grass and how chemicals affect them and all things like that. I don't know much about them.
I think that would be really interesting. There used to be a guy in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, I think he might have passed away. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. He was an earthworm expert who lived in Antigo, I think. And he even made it on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, but it was that long ago. That's why I do remember him being an earthworm expert. And you just would like to learn more about the earthworm and maybe even how to raise them?
Right, or maybe not even raise them, but I think that they irrigate the dirt and how important they are. And I know that, I think that when you put chemicals on your lawns, it kills them. And it's also not good for the robins, I would assume, to not be eating them when there's a lot of chemicals. So just learn more about them and how to protect them.
I love that idea. I really do. I like doing sort of outside-the-box kinds of topics, and we do focus in on different wildlife from time to time, doing shows on owls or loons or foxes or wolves or whatever. So that's actually, I like that idea. And I'm going to ask Christy if she has a moment to look up earthworm guy, Antigo, Wisconsin. See if I'm right. See if that expert is still with us. Let's go next to Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy. I'd like to see you do a show on the County Normal. It's county teacher colleges. They closed them all en masse in 1971, and when they did, there were 23 of them operating here in Wisconsin. They set them up in the early 1920s to train teachers for as 1 year to train teachers for your one-room country schools. Then their middle 30s, they made 2 years out of them. Well, as late as 1940, Vernon County here had 200 one-room country schools, pretty much. And you had a lab school downstairs. It was the word it was education from the day you walked in and the day you walked out. And once you got your degree, once you got out of normal school, which I did in the 60s, you had 7 years to get your degree.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah, Eugene, that sounds interesting to look back at how the teachers' colleges used to work, one-room schoolhouses and that sort of thing. It's nice to look back. Sometimes we like to look forward and address current day issues, but it's always good to remember our past and learn from it. So thanks for that idea. Well, we are looking for more ideas, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is our May open line. And we are asking for your suggestions for guests, for topics, for issues, for books that you would like to hear discussed on this program. This is the Ideas Network.
I've got a great idea. Wouldn't you like to know?
This is our May Open Line. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May 15th. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And thanks to Christy Taylor, she did find that George Schroda was a turkey farmer in Amherst Junction. He was known as the worm guy. He was a worm expert. He did pass away in 2004. He was especially known for his faithful sidekick, Herman, a 16.5-inch night crawler. I do remember, I think I did a feature with George when I worked for Wausau Television back in the old days. And as I said, he got some national attention for his knowledge of worms, earthworms. We might be able to do something with that idea. George in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, George.
Got a few political choices and guests that I think that you should consider.
Great.
First, I would suggest you get a hold of Bruce Murphy in Milwaukee. Bruce used to be editor of Milwaukee Magazine.
Yes.
He's the reporter who initially broke the pension scandal in Milwaukee County that led to the rise of Scott Walker. And I think he'd be a great guest on your Week in Review program. Secondly, I think it'd be nice to have Craig Gilbert, who is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's political reporter in Washington, D.C., on to talk about his series that just appeared this past week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on political polarization by locality in Wisconsin. That's really a powerful
series. I think that's a wonderful idea. I wish I could do it, George. Kathleen Dunn had Craig Gilbert on yesterday, and Craig is one of her regular guests who I would love to steal, and I'm going to try.
My last one is in a national scene, Thomas Frank, who wrote the book probably 10 years ago now, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
He's now a politics and cultural columnist at Salon.com, and he just comes out like every week with an excellent column. And if you took a look at Salon, you'd find him easily. He's really incisive and has lots of good things to say.
Super ideas. I really do appreciate them, George. If anybody would like to ever listen to a past program like Kathleen Dunn's show yesterday with Craig Gilbert, go to our website. You can listen to all of the archived programs on WPR.org and just search for the name or the topic and hopefully you will find it. And that goes for any show you hear on any program. I love the idea of having some regular political commentators. We're always looking for new Week in Review guests, and we can reach out to Bruce Murphy. I think we have attempted to have him on from time to time, and there might have been an issue with him not wanting to get up early, but I'm not positive. If he's listening right now, we'll get in contact to see if you'd like to be on the Week in Review, Bruce. Thanks very much, George, for those suggestions. Let's see. Aaron in Oak Creek sent an email. I absolutely loved your Shakespeare show last month with Richard Lederer. Yeah, that was fun. How about he suggests doing a show on June 16th celebrating James Joyce? Oh, all right. Well, yeah, maybe we can do that. Thanks for that idea. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. James in Janesville is with us. Hello, James.
Hello. Yeah, I have this idea. I was wondering about electric cars. And about the safety of them when they get into accidents, and about the emergency people, are they equipped for this? Do they have knowledge of what to do? Is there battery acid involved?
You think that there might be more of a danger in getting in an accident in an electric car, James?
Yes, because you figure, you know, there's batteries, and if those batteries break, well, there's acid in them. So, is the car itself well protected from the passenger or the driver to keep the acid away from you.
I haven't looked personally into that issue very closely, but we've done some shows on and off about just electric cars and, you know, their growing popularity or their cost or some of their environmental features. And we could probably add that aspect, electric car safety, to a show like that. And it's time to do another. So thank you very much, James, for that idea. Irving in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Irving.
Hi, good morning. I have another safety issue. Perhaps 2 million barrels of Bakken crude oil is coming out of North Dakota, and it's being transferred by rail. A majority of it is going across the Dakotas through Minnesota to the Twin Cities. And from the Twin Cities, it's going down the Mississippi River, on both sides of the river. And the river's Mississippi National Wildlife Refuge, and it's really a national treasure. The Department of Safety Transportation have said that these trains, because they're unsafe, should avoid sensitive ecologic areas and dense population areas. There's been there was an explosion in Lac Mécontac, Quebec, that destroyed the city and killed 47 people. It was a small town. And there was another explosion in outside of Castleton, North Dakota, and they just had to let it burn. It was just so explosive. Burned for days. Anyhow, these trains are going along the Mississippi, then through La Crosse, and then across Wisconsin to Chicago. Last week there was a spill in the James River. They're going to the East Coast, where the oil is being refined into gasoline and diesel fuel and then shipped overseas.
Thank you very much, Irving, for letting us know about your concern over this issue. I have heard some news stories along these lines, but we have not done a talk show on it, so we certainly can look into that. Thank you very much. Moving on now to Gail on Facebook, who has several ideas, including invasive plants and critters. I just pulled garlic mustard, so I relate to that. And the problems that they pose as well as solutions. Okay, good. That sounds good. I think she's also suggesting doing some opportunities for citizen science and misconceptions, challenges, and joys of step families and other non-traditional families. Wow, Gail, thanks for all those ideas. I think we have some possibilities there. All right, let's go to Ray in Merrill next. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. A guest that you had on a long time ago, author Chris Hedges, who maybe could come on and maybe speak to, you know, anything he'd like, but I think he's kind of focusing on civil liberties these days.
Mm-hmm.
And another guest would be Cornel West. You know, we occasionally have these little flare-ups about race in this country, and here's a guy who might have something to offer on the topic and maybe further the conversation.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray. I like all of those ideas. You know, speaking of race, a lot of us have heard about the many different reports that show Wisconsin having, you know, huge racial disparities when it comes to education and incarceration and employment for African Americans. And last month in Madison, there was a community-wide discussion. Community leaders and citizens got together to try to bridge the racial and social divide in Wisconsin and try to talk about these issues. We thought we would extend that conversation, and we are going to have a roundtable of guests. We will talk about the experiences of about five African-American men and women who live in different areas of Wisconsin, about what it's like living in Wisconsin and what they think stands in the way of better dialogue. So stay with us for that discussion coming up between 8 and 9. And we will continue discussing your ideas during our May open line. after we check news, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We actually have time for one more call before news. Julian LaCrosse, what's your idea?
I have two thoughts. One is to do a program on Huntington's disease and the ways that it affects families because of its genetic component, as well as just raise awareness of the multiple symptoms that occur. And the second is an issue regarding hospice and the loss of Medicare hospice Part D benefits when someone chooses hospice. And that's an ongoing issue that's going to sneak up on us in the next few months. And I think people should be aware of that potential loss.
Did you say they lose their Medicare benefits if they choose hospice?
They lose their Part D benefits.
Oh, Part D, okay. Yeah, but still,
and
yeah.
And that means that medications unrelated to their hospice benefit, which have previously been paid for by Part D, will no longer be paid for.
Yeah, doesn't seem fair. But we're going to check news. Thank you very much, Julie, for your suggestion, and then we'll hear more. I'm Joy Cardine.
I've got a great idea. Wouldn't you like to know?
If you have a great idea for a topic or a guest or an issue that you would like discussed on this program, we want to hear from you right now. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, May 15th, and this is our May open line. We try to open the lines once a month or so to hear from you. Not only to get your ideas, but if you have questions or feedback, we welcome that too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Next is Mitch in Green Bay. Hello, Mitch.
Hi. I have two things here. One of them is that I understand that earthworms are one of the oldest invasive species that we have in the country, and that they are a big threat to our northern forests and their duff base.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, and then the second thing is that there's quite a thing here where cyber crooks now have something called ransomware. They held the Chamber of Commerce of Bennington, Vermont hostage, and they tried to get a $400 ransom, and I guess they ended up locking up and destroying a couple of computers and a server that the Chamber of Commerce had, and I guess that they have a rather large they gathered a fair amount of funds so far, several million dollars. One part of the article said they had a base somewhere of over $6 million. It's very sophisticated, and it looks like it's more like a very well-organized thing with many, many participants.
Thank you very much for that idea, or those ideas, Mitch. Thanks very much. Laura on Facebook says, I'm a big fan of StoryCorps. I love to hear from someone who works with people who come to record their stories. Do people come specifically to share one story, or is what we hear on Friday mornings just an excerpt? Favorite stories, a behind-the-scenes look or listen would be interesting. All right, thanks, Laura. We do have David Isay from StoryCorps with us every year on the day after Thanksgiving, which happens to be the National Day of Listening, when you are encouraged to just sit down with a relative or a loved one or a friend and record memories, record a story that is special to you or that you want to know about. Let's say sitting down with your grandmother and recording her memories about something, you know, anything along those lines. So that on that National Day of Listening, we do have David Isay on talking about how they go about recording stories. It doesn't focus so much on how StoryCorps, why StoryCorps does what it does, but on how you can do it yourself. But thanks for that idea. Let's go to Bernie in Elkhorn. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to suggest two guests as possible people to talk about Ukraine and what's been going on in the past year there. One of them is Stephen Cohen. I've heard him interviewed recently on Democracy Now! And the other is a gentleman by the name of Rick Rozoff. He's got an organization called Stop NATO. And both of these folks are very concerned about belligerence coming out of our government. And we're really not getting an objective picture through our mainstream media, unfortunately, of events in Ukraine and Russia, their role in it and their fears about NATO further encroaching on their borders. And it's a shame we're not getting an objective picture. And these guys are very concerned about possible really bad outcomes of our government's continued belligerence.
Thank you, Bernie. Moving on now to Art in Ripon. Hello, Art.
Hi. I was wondering whether you could do a show or a segment about the Move to Amend movement that's going on nationwide and also here in Wisconsin. It's trying to put a damper on some of these Supreme Court decisions, Citizens United and McCutcheon, and even now today we hear about another Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals with regards to this. And there's a couple websites that I gave off air, but there's a about a half-hour YouTube video that's called Legalize Democracy that gives a good explanation of the movement. And as far as guests, you might have either Mike McCabe or nationally is David Cobb.
Yeah, thanks very much, Art. I know we did follow up on the last election. It was the question was on some ballots in Wisconsin and some county ballots, and we did talk about the Move to Amend movement. And we will again, though. Certainly is an issue that's going to be with us for some time. So we appreciate you letting us know, reminding us, and letting everybody else know about it, too. All right, let's go to Amanda on Facebook now, who says, this year, Wisconsin 4-H is celebrating their 100-year anniversary. It would be a great topic to cover. Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, 4-H. I bet you people would have a lot of memories, too, about serving in 4-H, and we can talk about what 4-H does today. So thanks for that idea. All right, let's go to Josh in Madison now. Hi, Josh. I'm sorry, it's John. I apologize.
Yeah, John. Well, despite President Obama's health care reforms, there's still 13% of Americans that don't have health care insurance. This is over 30 million Americans still don't have health care insurance, and that equates to roughly 25 to 30,000 Americans dying every year. You know, if Al-Qaeda was doing this to us, everybody would be in arms saying, let's use nuclear weapons. But if our social system is set up so that this happens, there doesn't seem to be any uproar about it. There is with me, but I don't know where our populace is. And I'd like to hear somebody say, what are we going to do for 13% of our populace that doesn't have any health access? The other thing is I would like to hear Ed Herman. He writes for Z Magazine. He's an old economics professor, emeritus of Wharton University, talk about the need for a new church committee. Snowden came out with revelations that the NSA was after so-called radicalizers, not terrorists, but people who were spreading views they didn't like, and they were going to discredit them by publicizing their Google porn habits. You know, this is a kind of political interference that was specifically prohibited when the CIA was set up so they didn't engage in internal surveillance. And that was what the church committee dealt with in the 70s. I'd like to hear Herman talk about whether we need a new church committee.
Thank you very much, John, not Josh. We appreciate your suggestions. Stephen in Weston is with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. A lot of times politicians will cite regulations for costing companies business, and you know, it's pretty prevalent that it's all regulations are hurting this and that. But if you could do a show on, like, why regulations were put in place in the first place, either someone died on a job or they were skirting safety issues, they weren't put in willy-nilly just to, out of the blue. There were reasons they were put in, and some of them could be shelved now, might not be prevalent nowadays. But there's reason they were put in, and like with the banking regulations, and now they want to kind of like ease up on those. And it's like, are you kidding me? You tanked the country, in 08. And I just think it would be a good topic and to remind people why these were put in place. Either companies were skirting safety issues or to make a dollar extra, not changing filters. And you know, that would be a good topic.
Thank you very much. Lori in Hales Corners sent an email. She writes, Joy, in addition to telling you where to go on Fridays, I recommend telling grandparents where to go with grandkids, and even more generally, various ideas, not just travel ideas, on how to spend time well with their grandkids. Very nice idea, Lori. And certainly when we say tell Joy where to go or what to eat or what to read or whatever on Friday mornings, you're really telling everybody, you know, various fun, special things about Wisconsin. But having some ideas for grandparents spending time with their grandchildren, I think we can devote a show to that, too. Thanks. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you have an idea, an issue, a topic, a guest that you would like to hear discussed on this program. This is our May Open Line. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I've got a great idea. Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, we want to know your great ideas for this program. Once a month, we ask for the guests, the issues, the topics that you would like to hear discussed. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our next caller is Terry in Washburn. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Julie. Thanks for taking my call. I have an idea. I don't know if it would be for you or more for Kathleen, but we'll see. I would like to hear a program on the great pulp fiction magazines from, let's say, the 1920s up through the 1960s. I think a lot of your older listeners would appreciate that as we grew up with them.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, I think, Terry. We'll look into that. Thanks very much. I'm not giving it to Kathleen. Are you kidding? I'm just teasing. thanks for the idea. Jim in Duluth is with us. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Your number one conservative Christian fan again on the phone. I love your show.
Oh, great.
My wife is a therapist, and she works at the adolescent unit. I can't say which hospital. But one of the things that she finds in 90% of her cases is child neglect and the different degrees and the different types. And I think a lot of younger generation don't understand all the different types. And some people just don't understand the different types of neglect. And I'm sure the producers would probably have a great time, you know, finding interviewees and stuff like that that can give you storylines of the different types of neglect that are hurting our children these days. And she's, I mean, 90% of her cases are from neglect of different types. People that enable their kids, people that ignore their kids, people that baby their kids. Those are all types of neglect, and it would be an interesting show to have psychologists or whatever talk to you and everybody else out here about the different degrees of neglect.
Oh, yeah, very interesting, Jim. Thank you so much. Glad to have you as a listener. Thanks for the suggestion. Jackie in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Joy. Love your show. Yeah, I would love to hear a program on, more particularly, fathers falsely accused by their teenage daughters of sexual abuse, but an overall program, because I'm sure it happens not only to men, but, you know, to women, too. And you always hear the other side of the coin, you know, from the victim or the alleged victim. But, you know, when I was doing research on this topic, I was just totally amazed at the lack of investigation, the assumption that, you know, this is a case where you're guilty before you, you know, even go anywhere, and how devastating it is for these men and women who are accused this way. I liken it to people who have been falsely imprisoned for 20 years or more, because this is something that affects their lives,
yeah,
their
sure does.
Friends and family. And, you know, you just don't hear anything about that other side of the coin when you're falsely accused and how that affects you and devastates your life.
Jackie, thank you for that suggestion. You're right. We don't hear a lot along those lines. You don't have to go into any details, but do you know someone who was falsely accused?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I'm one of those people, too, who, you know, I really frown on this. And I really, it just sickens me. But this person is not a person who would do that, did do that, or anything. And it just amazed me how, you know, you take the word of someone, there's no investigation done because this person says it. There's no investigation into, well, was this person angry at the father, or, you know what I mean? It's there was nothing done. All of a sudden, this person is just assumed to be guilty.
I appreciate the suggestion, Jackie. Thanks very much. You know, there's a really highly publicized case back, it was 20 years ago or so. I can't remember now, but it was a daycare center, actually, in California, where there was accusations of child abuse of the children at the daycare center that ended up, turned out, it did not happen. All were cleared, and it became became a source of national discussion, but it was so long ago, it's worth going back to and exploring that issue. Thanks very much. Sandy on Facebook says, with all the controversy on GMOs in the news, I would like to suggest experts from both sides of the issue debate from their side. I would like to especially know the impact of toxicity to humans and any impact to beneficial insects, such as the honeybees, and if there is any impact to the monarch butterfly. All right, Sandy, thanks very much. How about you? We still have time for your suggestions, another 5 minutes to go or so during this May open line, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Janice in La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Joy. Good. Thank you so much for taking my call. Again, you do a great job. But, Joy, I would like to know if you could get one of your professors, historian professors, to give us some information about the Constitution. And specifically, how we have misinterpreted this quote about separation between church and state, which is not in the Constitution, but we have absolutely, they've jumped on that. The media, everybody is just, you know, no, you know, this is not in the Constitution. I would love to hear a professor come and speak about that and, you know, really clarify that so people have misunderstood this for so long. I think it's part of our problem here of this, quote, separation of church and state.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
Thank you, Janice. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Brad in Hayward is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hi. This is Brad Vicey Hayward. I would like to see something on, since the Act 10 has been implemented, the loss of collective bargaining, how it's affected these highway departments around the state.
Yeah, how do you think it has affected them?
Yeah, like the benefits and the public services and stuff like that, including the roadmates, the safety. We've noticed that some counties are different than other counties, and how this collective bargaining has affected these highway departments and the public services.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad. Here's a comment from Jesse on Facebook. I'd enjoy hearing a guest discuss the poverty lines in Madison and what can be done to bridge the gap. I guess, especially working retail, it's more cost-effective to work fewer hours and keep aid rather than push for more hours and lose your food share, daycare assistance, etc. Okay, so someone who thinks that the rules are such that it discourages working. All right, thanks for that suggestion, Jesse. Lisa in Heartland is with us. Hi, Lisa.
Oh, I love the show. I wanted to suggest a gentleman to be a guest by the name of Conrad Spencer. He has been in the coal industry specifically for over 30 years, and with the war on coal happening, I think it would be really interesting to get a perspective from somebody who's actually worked in the industry. And I think it would be great to hear just, again, another perspective.
Yeah, what is the name of the guest that you suggested?
Conrad Spencer.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, so he's just someone who has spoken out on what he calls the war on coal?
He has been in the coal industry, specifically in coal-fired power plants. And I think that he would give a really interesting perspective on, you know, what could happen if coal power plants around the country were shut down, and the rolling blackouts that could happen, and the alternative power sources won't cover the need that we as Americans need for electricity.
Lisa, thank you very much. I don't think we've done really a show along those lines, and we are all about sharing different perspectives, so certainly we will look into that. Thank you very much. Scott in Superior, what's your idea?
Yes, internet neutrality, which was actually just on at the bottom of the hour, and a very, very important and topical issue right now. The FCC chairman, who is a former cable and telecom industry executive, Tom Wheeler, is proposing new rules that would put a price tag on using the internet, and it would be essentially a giveaway to, you know, AT&T and Comcast and big cable companies. All the rest of us would have to start paying more for, you know, accessing certain content, and basically it would not be a free internet any longer. And people want more about that, go to BillMoyers.com or FreePress.com. Yep. And a couple guest suggestions for you as well on that.
Yeah, we can look into that. Thanks very much, Scott. We've done some net neutrality programs, but we have not done one recently, and we can certainly pursue that idea. Thanks for all of your ideas. Really got some good ones, and we promise we will follow through on as many as we can. You don't have to wait for an open line to send us a suggestion. You can go to WPR.org. There's places to send suggestions or questions. You can send them to talk@WPR.org. You can send them the old-fashioned way, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can always call us and contact us to share your ideas. So thanks very much for those. You know, one of the ideas that came from a listener was is going to be followed through on in our next hour. It was to get a hold of a woman who calls into this program from time to time. She's an African-American woman living in Waupun. And she gave us a glimmer of what it was like for her living in small-town Wisconsin. And we decided to follow through on that. And you'll hear from Sheree and many others coming up in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Ideas are few and far between.